Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, good to be back here on Sunday evening, studying God's Word and continuing with a lesson we started, I don't even remember when, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But anyway, we've been going through the book of Romans, and we're actually going to do that again this evening. But then next week and the following week, we're going to take, and probably a couple of weeks after that, we're going to take a little break from Romans and do some things that sort of lead up to Palm Sunday and to Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, and kind of do a more Lenten sort of thing.
'Tis the season of Lent.
Yes. And we've been going through the book of Romans, the last couple of programs have been on Romans chapter 9. And just to kind of set this, and I'm sure most of you that are listening know this, but in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, Paul talks about Israel and the Jews and how he's in having all this anguish in his heart that his people, his brethren in the flesh, as he calls them, because remember, he was a Pharisee and he was a teacher of the law, and there was no one more zealous for the law than him.
Right.
How he has this anguish in his heart that his brethren have not come to know Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, and have been not only not in the faith, but actively persecuting him when he does try to witness to them and evangelize them.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, obviously we know that Paul was persecuting the new believers, as they called it, the way back then. And now that Paul is a believer and he had his encounter with the risen Christ, now he's praying fervently for his brethren to come into the fold and to, you know, receive their Messiah.
And he has, we talked about last time in the first verse of chapter 9, he talks about how he has this anguish in his heart. I mean, he's just heartbroken about this. And he pointed out that of all the people, they should have known.
Right, because
they had the covenant, they had the Torah, they had all the revelations that God had given to his own people. And so here he was in a situation where his own people had not understood this. Now, some did, and there were many Jews that came to faith in Jesus. We shouldn't make it sound like Paul was the only one.
Right.
If you read the book of Acts, there were many people that came, even a lot of the priests. But now, you know, Paul's in a situation where there's Gentiles coming out of the woodwork to hear
the
word.
Place.
And, I mean, this was kind of a surprising thing probably to him too, but he got right into it.
Yeah.
And so he's lamenting the fact that his people, God's covenant people, were not doing that.
Right.
And as he said last time, he would even consider being cursed so that his people could come.
Right.
Of course, he wouldn't really want to be cursed. He said he'd consider it.
for their sake.
For their sake.
If it would mean they would come into the, you know, to receive Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah.
Yes, because Paul was the ultimate evangelist. He didn't care if they stoned him, beat him, threw him out of the wall, did whatever to him, got back up, went back inside, preached again.
Dusted himself off.
Dusted himself off. Let's go back. And as he says, he tries to be all things to all people in order to save some.
Yes.
So when he's with the Jews, he's a Jew, and he's with the Gentiles, he's a Gentile. If he'd have gone to Japan, he'd have been Japanese. But he would have done whatever it would have taken in order to save some people.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a real example of how the Lord works with us even today, that God always comes to and meets us where we're at.
Yes.
And he always meets us. I have to remember this all the time. He met me when I was sinful, you know, and I do still sin, but when I was away from the church, when I had a broken relationship with him, and he comes and meets us where we're at.
Yes.
And draws us back to himself.
Yes,
you know, and that's what Paul is exemplifying there, is
yes.
that he's meeting these people where they're at. Then he's showing them the risen Lord and the, proclaiming the gospel. You know, come follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jesus called his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the boat, come follow me.
Yes. Yeah. And all you have to do is come. All you have to do is show up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spend a lot of time in preparation. You just have to come.
Yep. The Lord will take care of the rest of it.
Yeah. So now we're going to kind of try to get through all of 10 and the highlights of 11 today.
In one show?
In one show. Well, if not, then we'll pick it up.
That would be miraculous.
Yeah. So, Stephen.
Yes.
We're going to make him read again.
Bill.
Romans chapter 10. How about you read 1 through 4 for starters?
Sure. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God on their behalf is for salvation. I testify with regard to them that they have zeal for God, but it is not discerning. For in their unawareness of the righteousness that comes from God and their attempt to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for the justification of everyone who has faith.
Oof. Well, that really sums up a lot of stuff. And, you know, that first verse, and I want you to keep that verse in mind when we come to the first break, because there's going to be a song that has that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, his heart's desire and prayer is for Israel that they might be saved.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out here that when he says that for Christ is the end of the law for the justification, mm-hmm. he doesn't mean that it's the end of the law.
Right.
It's like a goal. Like
yes.
when you reach a goal, you've finished. And Christ even said, I've come to fulfill,
right.
not to abolish. I've came to fulfill the law.
Yes.
So I think that's important to point out to people.
And this really, again, shows Paul's deep love and concern for his people, Israel.
Oh, yeah.
That this is his heart's desire and prayer that Israel might be saved. And he, you know, salvation was the most important thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. He was the ultimate evangelist, and it should be for us too. I mean, we should be ready to evangelize at any moment, at a moment's notice. Doesn't matter if we're busy or we have a runny nose or we have some other party to go to or some other event that's going on. If when the opportunity presents itself, there isn't anything more important that you can tell somebody than the gospel,
the good news.
Yeah. So he sees this as the most important thing, and he prays for them that they might be saved.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, and you would think when the Jewish people who were not believers would hear him say that, it probably made them even madder. What do you mean saved? We got all the stuff.
Yeah.
You're the crazy guy. We got all the stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when you have all the stuff,
yeah,
you can miss this.
Yes.
You know, when he's saying here, for in their unawareness of the righteousness that come from God and their attempt to establish their
mm-hmm.
own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and this is what Jesus always talked to the Pharisees about. You know, you're piling up these burdens upon people and you're doing nothing to help them.
Yeah. And he says they have great zeal for God.
Yeah.
They have great zeal. You know, if you go today to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, you see men and women too, but I can only go on the men's side. But on the, you see men there that are fervently praying,
mm-hmm.
and they have the prayer shawl on, and their heads are covered,
right.
and they may be rocking back and forth, and they're just intensely praying.
Yeah.
Paul says they have great zeal for this.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they were in opposition to the gospel because they had this great love for the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew the law was from God. They knew the Torah. The Torah is the books, the five books of Moses, which are the books of the law. And so they knew that God had given them this law, and they couldn't, Paul was frustrated because they couldn't understand that with all this zealousness for the law and all this zealousness for God, they couldn't understand how this was all pointing to Messiah.
Yeah.
And it was all pointing to Jesus, Yeshua, as their Messiah.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get a grasp of that. They couldn't understand this.
It's almost like they love the law more than they love the giver of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And just as, like, I know today, like, in, you know, we both have experienced the charismatic, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, God bestows gifts upon you. But if you love the gift more than the one who gives it,
yeah.
you can get in the same situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no matter what denomination you're in, you know, there's always a tendency to, well, let's go back to have some more rules because I think it's kind of a natural human thing. And then if you get so into the rules that you forget what it was all about in the first place.
Right.
But you say to yourself, yeah, but I'm doing really good on these rules.
Yeah.
You kind of missed the whole point. And they were in that position and they didn't recognize this salvation by grace.
Yeah.
Because grace, although of course there is manifestations of grace in the Old Testament, they didn't really have a grasp that Messiah was going to provide the salvation in the way that he did.
Yeah.
They weren't really ready for a, you know, a crucified redeemer.
No.
They were ready for a kingly redeemer who was going to deliver Israel. Just like the apostles said, hey, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it now. Yeah. Let's go out and start killing Romans and let's do it.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of what everybody had in mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't quite understand that this redeemer that God had provided, you know, starting with Abraham and Isaac.
Right.
God has provided the sacrifice and the Passover lamb. God has provided the sacrifice. And Yeshua, Jesus, the Lamb of God, God provided the sacrifice.
Right.
They really couldn't connect these things. And Paul writes, you know, in Philippians 3 that we don't have our own righteousness from the law. We have righteousness through our faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And so this got by them because they didn't see this, as you just said a minute ago, that Christ was the end of the law, meaning everything was pointing to that.
Yeah.
Then you had his sacrifice on the cross. Then we enter this new covenant of grace. They're still trying to be righteous, doing all the stuff. And they missed this important transition.
Yeah.
And you know, in Galatians 3:24, you know, Paul writes, the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ when we realize, oh, I've been a miserable failure. I just can't deal with this anymore. So
yeah,
I got to be delivered from this. And it was a, you know, the law was a shadow of what was coming. The book of Hebrews talks about shadows and types.
Yeah.
And then Jesus is the substance. So Paul's got the substance there, and he's looking back at his peoples who are saying, hey, we got the types and the shadows.
Yeah.
He goes, but I got the real thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you see that even Jesus himself, when he would talk to the Pharisees, when he would talk to the, you know, teach in the synagogues, he was teaching about love.
Yes.
I mean, you know, master, what is the greatest commandment? You know, and Jesus says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbors yourself, because love fulfills the law. And Paul so eloquently picks up on this message that Jesus was speaking, that love fulfills the law. There's no greater gift than the gift of love, because in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, he laid down his life, not because we were good.
Right.
But as scripture tells us, even while we were sinners, he shows his love for us, that he laid his life down for us.
Right.
And ransomed his life for ours.
Yes.
And that proves his love for us.
Yes. And that is the great, that is such a great part of the good news that he could have said in a public announcement of some kind, if all you people go down now and start meditating and praying and reading the scriptures and pulling yourselves together and doing good things, then after a few years of that, then I'm going to die on the cross for you and then we'll establish salvation. But he died for us while we were still sinners, as we said a few chapters ago in Romans, on the Roman road. Because this is the good news.
Yeah.
And Paul was very frustrated that his people didn't get it. Because he says they should have gotten this. The thinkers and the teachers and the great rabbis should have put this together and said, oh, now we get this.
And this is why the Holy Spirit is so important in our faith life.
Yeah.
Because without the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, the Holy Spirit impels us to cry out, Abba, Father, that Jesus is Lord. We can't even say that Jesus is Lord without the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's so important that the Holy Spirit and God's plan of sending the Holy Spirit is understood, not just in biblical times, but in our time today.
You know? That's right. Oof, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. How about, you want to read another five?
Sure.
I want you to do the next five verses. So this will be, if you're following along at home, this will be verses 5 through 10.
Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that comes from the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will go down into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved.
Now here, Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was Shaul, the great Pharisee, the great student of the law, mm-hmm. was quoting from Deuteronomy 30, and it's in verses 12 to 14. And the whole point of this was that you don't have to go, and God gave this word to the people about his covenant with them.
Yes.
You don't have to go up to the heaven and say, oh, we got to send somebody up to the heaven to find out what his word is. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, we got to have somebody go down into the abyss or the earth or Sheol or hell or whatever to find out what his word is.
Yeah.
The word is here. He gave us his word.
Yeah.
We don't have to go and search for it. And he connects it to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he puts, your version probably has parentheses, and it says, you know, who will ascend into heaven, parentheses, that is to bring Christ down from above.
Right.
Or who will go into the abyss, parentheses, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go and look for him someplace in heaven. You don't have to go look for him someplace in the abyss. He's here. He's yeah. now. And he calls him the Word. And he applies this word from Deuteronomy to him.
Yeah.
It says the Word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the word of faith that he's preaching.
Yeah.
He says the Messiah came. Moses said all this because God had revealed his law, had revealed his purposes to the people. Now Messiah has come and he is here. He's in your heart. He's in your mind. And this is what we're preaching.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere else to figure out what I'm talking about because it's right here.
Right before you.
Yes.
It reminds me of when Jesus was in the synagogue and he unrolls a scroll and he's reading about how the Lord's anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor and he says this passage is fulfilled in your hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
The word made flesh is right there in
yeah.
the midst.
Yeah. yeah. And what he's telling these people in Rome is it's not complicated. It's not far out. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. You don't have to go to these other places. You know, Jesus in Luke 17:21 says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
He has already done all this, and it's evident. And Paul said a few chapters ago, it's manifest. You yeah. know, the gospel of salvation is apparent to anybody who wants to see it.
Right.
You don't have to go dig for it. You don't have to go look for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your heart.
Yeah.
And this is the promise of salvation.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the author of it. And he says, this is our confession and our faith. This is what we're talking about. And if you confess with your heart that he's Lord, in other words, if you confess in your heart that he has full authority over you, he has full authority over the people around you, he has universal sovereignty over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection, of course, is the ultimate sign of that.
Right.
As we talked about before, it's the ultimate sign that proves who he said he was, that he was the Son of God and that he was Messiah. And you confess with your tongue these things and you believe him in your heart, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
So it's, Paul says, that's what you got to think.
It's that easy.
That's pretty awesome. Whoa. Oh, listen to the lyrics.
Is this Paul Wilbur?
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's Joel Chernoff.
Oh.
Ooh. Anyway, giftofgraceministries.org or Facebook. Listen to the song.
Desire and prayer to God for Israel. He is that they might be saved. they might be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. I tell you the truth in Messiah. Sorrow and grief fill my heart. My people, my brethren undying, I could wish I were lost, that they might be found in my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, they might be saved. Searching for God in the Torah, the works of the law, striving in vain to be righteous, not knowing we need only to trust in
to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace. Isn't that an awesome song?
That is an awesome song.
It's basically what we just did in Romans chapter 10.
He's singing chapter 10, yeah.
And you can, I think the way Joel sings that is you kind of feel Paul's anguish.
Yeah.
I just want to pray that they might be saved.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyone would feel that way. If you knew all your people were kind of going the wrong way, you'd say, I want them to come where I am.
Yeah.
But it's very good.
And, you know, as you say that, as I think about how as the body of Christ, those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, I mean, that really should be our prayer for our brothers and sisters who are not in union with the Lord.
Jew and Gentile.
And we need to have that love in our hearts for anybody who's not saved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stephen and I do a lot of ministry to Jewish people and work a lot with Messianic Jews. And of course, we have to also be concerned about Gentiles who aren't in the kingdom.
You got to be concerned about whoever God's placed in your path.
That's right. And it's interesting too. And, you know, we left off just before the break about, you know, believing and, you know, knowing in your heart and you're going to be saved. And, you know, the heart is a deep conviction. You know, when the Bible talks about something's in your heart, they're not talking about, you know, your biological heart that pumps blood. They're talking about, it's a very deep conviction. He's talking about a true enlightenment. And when your heart is transformed, then your mouth speaks what's in your heart.
Like just to the core of your very
That's
being.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And that leads you to evangelization and to witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an awesome, awesome passage that you just read from Romans. How about reading verse 11?
Just 11?
Yeah, for starters.
Okay, Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame.
Mm. Now here, Paul's quoting from Isaiah. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And you notice too, it's kind of a universal thing. It's whoever does it. It's not a Jew who believes in him or a Gentile who believes in him.
Right.
Or somebody from Venezuela who believes in him. Mm-hmm. It's whoever believes in him.
Yeah, because you had like Ruth.
Right.
You had other people in the Old Testament.
That's right.
That were
sure.
You know, believers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even in Jesus's time, you had these people living there that they called God-fearers.
Cornelius?
Yeah, Cornelius, yeah. A great example. The Roman centurion that mm-hmm. came to him and said, my servant's sick.
Right.
You know, he was one of these Roman officers who was from a pagan society, but he knew that this man was a holy man, that there was something about him, there was something about the God of Israel that had power compared to going to one of his gods and saying,
yeah.
Want my servant to be healed.
Yeah.
And it's whoever believes won't be put to shame. So there's no distinction.
Yeah.
As he's going to say later, you know, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek.
Right.
Because Jesus is Lord over anyone who calls on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's pretty cool.
Happened to me in Cancun.
Yeah. That's right. I love that story. Happened to be on 480, but anyway, not quite as exciting as your story. But anyway, and even back in the Tanakh in Joel chapter 2, not Joel who was just saying it, is a different Joel.
Oh.
But Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, the prophet Joel is really awesome. If you read chapter 2, it just blows you away.
Clarify that, though.
Yes. And I think next week we're going to talk some more about Joel, not the app Joel, the prophet Joel.
Okay.
You know, Joel writes, he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So even in the Old Testament, there's this hint that, you know, if you call on the Lord, you're going to be saved because he's Lord over all. So everyone can hope in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anymore the Israelites or the covenant people. So, and good thing for us because most of you listening are probably Gentiles. Yeah. I can tell you, Stephen and I are both Gentiles. And it's a good thing for us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes.
Because now the separation is gone, as mm-hmm. Paul's going to write later in Ephesians. But we're not going to go to Ephesians today.
No.
No. We're having enough time, hard enough time with Romans.
Do you want me to read on?
Yeah.
All right. So chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah, go down a little bit more.
But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not everyone has heeded the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what was heard from us? Thus faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
Yeah. Well, yeah, stop there for a minute. Whoa. This is awesome. So this is how this guy, Paul, who used to be Saul, at this point, he didn't care what his name was, but.
Gotta keep everybody straight.
Saul, who used to be Paul. No, Paul, who used to be Saul.
Now you're confusing our listeners. Stop it.
Anyway, this is how he brought Gentiles into the kingdom
mm-hmm.
by preaching to them. Notice he didn't put up a web page and say, if you read the web page, it'll explain everything.
He didn't have.
No, he didn't do that.
Wow.
He was terrible about making web pages.
Yeah.
And then every time he tried to put a sound file on there, it wouldn't work anyway. And the music was a disaster. But he would preach to them and they would come to faith in Jesus as Messiah. I mean, it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And he's, by this time, by the time he writes this, he's kind of thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I go out there and tell them about Jesus, and they say, okay, we believe.
And that was prophesied. Those
that
who
was prophesied.
Do not know me will know me.
You That's
know?
Right. And, you know, he says, you know, they can't call on God if they don't believe. You know, without, in the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith, we can't please God. We have to understand who he is. We have to have faith. Mm-hmm. But you have to make this known to people.
Yeah.
Because people don't just deduce it in their head. Now, sure, there's cases where, you know, the Holy Spirit falls on somebody and they get miraculous things happen, like Paul himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the preacher of the word is kind of, you know, he's going to say later, he's like an ambassador. He's going to say in 2 Corinthians, you know, he goes, we're like ambassadors for Christ. You know, he shows up and says, can I tell you about Jesus? I'm his ambassador. Mm-hmm. You know, or he comes into town and says, I'm an ambassador. And they go, ooh, you must be like a really important guy. Where are you from? He goes, no, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And let me tell you about him. So this is how he's used to bring in this big harvest. And he brings the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he quotes from Isaiah 52:7. Where it talks about the feet of people who bring good news.
Yeah.
It's like when somebody's bringing good news, their feet are light and, you know, you kind of get, you know, when you see somebody kind of like trudging along, you know that they're sad.
Right.
When somebody's happy, their feet go boop, 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 boop. When they're sad, they're kind of like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And so that's how the watchman on the walls used to tell, like, uh-oh, we must have lost the battle because the messenger's pretty droopy. So, you know, Paul's talking about this is how he brings good news. And he says the good news is this gospel of peace, because it's a reconciliation between God and man. This is what the law didn't have. The law right. couldn't reconcile you to God
right.
in the way that grace does.
Yeah.
And this was his whole point.
Well, yeah, I mean, the law was there so that you wouldn't be separated from God. But if you broke the law,
yeah,
there wasn't a permanent
right.
remedy for it.
That's right.
As there is now.
That's right.
In Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And, you know, as you were talking, about how people are called to preach,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's in 2 Peter, chapter 9, is that Christ has won us for himself. Christ has won you for himself.
For himself.
Mm-hmm. And you must proclaim what he has done for you, because he has called you out of darkness mm-hmm. into his own wonderful light.
Yeah.
And every believer is called to proclaim mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the good news.
Yes.
Proclaim what God has done for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's whether you had a miraculous conversion like St. Paul had,
mm-hmm.
Whether you were
driving on
floating around in the ocean and got picked up out of it, or while you're driving down 480 and, you know, you just, you
just
know,
trying to go
God,
to work.
God protect. I mean, last week I was coming home. I pulled right out. I didn't see a car coming. And at the last second, I grabbed the wheel and turned and, I'm like, thank you, Lord, because I would have got hit.
Mm.
But I was really thankful that that didn't happen. So it's those little things that you see every day.
He was watching that for you.
Yeah, he does. He watches out for us a lot.
But Paul, you know, Paul in all of this really points out that the gospel is spreading. The good news is spreading by preaching.
Mm-hmm.
People are being told the word, and they're coming to faith in that word. And as we said several times, I think, these were people that were Gentiles. They weren't covenant people.
They didn't know anything about
they didn't Abraham know who the patriarch. They couldn't have told you a thing about Isaac, or they could have said, I have no clue where Jerusalem is, but
probably didn't know
we
about,
like this Jesus yeah. thing. And, you know, yeah. they came to faith through his preaching. And this word went out over all the earth. You know, it was Jesus' great commission mm-hmm. that he told those guys. It went out over all the earth with all these people preaching.
Yeah.
Without any kind of electronic media, without any kind of advertising.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. It just went, and today we have all this stuff and we can't get the word out. But these guys went on foot and they preached everywhere. And I think the Jews kind of thought, how could all these Gentiles be doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, they're worshiping the God of Israel. I mean, they may be a little messed up about this Jesus thing, but they're worshiping the God of Israel. Who would have ever thought of such a thing?
Yeah.
Because the plan was the Gentiles were coming too.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you see that it's all by It's all by God's design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's sovereign over all creation, and in his plan, and you see it as the Old Testament unfolds and as God's revealing himself to his people,
mm-hmm.
and prophecies are being proclaimed that he's going to bring all people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself.
Yeah.
Didn't say some, he said all. And a lot of times there is a thinking that, well, God is mine,
mm-hmm.
because we're very personal in our culture mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's mine. It's about me. And it's really not about me at all.
Yeah.
It's about what God has done through the gift of his son, Jesus, yeah. for us.
Right. Exactly.
And if we miss that message, we can kind of distort what the word of God is really trying to tell us about salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had lunch with a friend of mine who said a funny line that she heard from someone who said, funny thing about church is that God thinks it's all about him.
Where would he ever get such an idea?
But anyway, so this was the plan, and it went out by a very simple way.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was the forefront of this, of course. So now let's see. How about reading 19 through 21, which is the end? Wow, end of chapter 10.
Wow. Okay, but I ask, did they not hear? Certainly they did. For their voice has gone forth to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did not Israel understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a senseless nation, I will make you angry. Wow. Then Isaiah speaks boldly and says, I was found by those who were not seeking me. Mm-hmm. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me.
Whoa.
But regarding Israel, he says, all day long, I stretch out my hands to a disobedient and contentious people.
Mm.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's an amazing three verses there.
Yeah.
Did Israel know? They should have known.
Yeah.
From Moses, from Isaiah. He's quoting actually from Deuteronomy 32:12 and Isaiah 65, yeah. 1 and 2. You know, the nations are going to move the Jews to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews are going to look at the Gentile nations and say, what are they doing?
Yeah.
How come they're worshiping the true God, the God of Israel? How could this be? They're not covenant people.
Yeah.
They're not with us. They're off on this Messiah thing, but they're worshiping our God.
Yeah. With a senseless nation, I will make you angry.
Yes. And say, how could this be possible?
Yeah.
It's, you know, when a Jewish person saw what they used to call a righteous Gentile, like Cornelius,
mm-hmm.
and some of these Romans that they mention. Wow. You know, this guy's a Roman and he's talking about our God.
Yeah.
I mean, they felt like they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And the Jews were moved to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Isaiah says it more boldly. read that again where it says, Isaiah says it more boldly.
I was found by those who were not seeking me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Gentiles.
But, you know, this is what Jesus talked about in the parable of the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
That... was invited to the wedding feast, but here's the time of the wedding feast, and nobody's coming to it.
That's right.
Go out and get anybody who's on the street.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So Isaiah says it boldly. So the Gentiles weren't searching. You know, the Gentiles weren't sitting around in some village in Greece we got to deal with this God of Israel thing because, you know, we got to figure out what this is. And then all of a sudden, Paul shows up.
Yeah.
He said, you know, goes to the town square and starts preaching, and people start listening to him going, who's this guy? What's he talking about? And they come to accept his word.
Exactly.
And God manifests himself, you know, through the Messiah, Jesus, mm-hmm. to the Gentiles by sending the gospel to them.
Yeah.
It's really quite remarkable.
It really is, because if you, as we're talking about this, and you look at the words that Jesus spoke as he was preaching to Israel, the nation of Israel, you know, he said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's right.
But then Yeah. He's also telling them all these parables that if you look at the Old Testament and you look at the parables that Jesus talked about and you look at the New Testament, you see that he was really warning Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He was,
yes,
but they did not see and they did not hear.
That's right. And as he said there in verse 21 that you read, he stretches out his hand to Israel all the time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, stretching out your hand was a gesture of invitation. Yeah. It's like, come on. Come back.
Yeah. You know, he says, you know, this generation seeks a sign, but the only sign that's going to be given is a sign of Jonah.
Jonah. Yeah. We're going to talk about that too in a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks.
But, you know, he talks about how they were a stiff-necked people.
Mm-hmm.
They were disobedient. They were contrary to everything he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always holding out his hand saying, you got to come back. You got to come back. So this was the ultimate gesture through Messiah. And Paul says, they should have known it and they didn't.
Yeah.
And so he's just absolutely flabbergasted and saddened by this.
Yeah. And I mean, he's in anguish.
Yeah.
He's in anguish over it.
Yeah. It's in anguish. And not only did they not realize it, but they argued against it.
Yeah.
Whew. Ooh, I hear some. This is an awesome song. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute. Remember, Gift of Grace on Facebook. Leave us some messages or something. And www.giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Oh,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We made it through chapter 10. Now, we're going to do highlights of chapter 11, and we're going to do it in 8 minutes.
All right, go.
8 weeks like we usually do. So, Paul, with all this frustration and all this pouring out about how Israel should have known, they didn't know, they were trying to be righteous, they didn't come to the faith, he says, now is Israel permanently cast off? He says, no, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And, you know, then he talks about his genealogy. We're going to try not to, you know, to read a lot of this, but, you know, there's a few places in the scripture where Paul talks about, you know, kind of his background. You know, he says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
And he didn't, God has not cast off the people. And then he quotes from, 1 Kings chapter 19,
yes,
where Elijah's so frustrated and he says, I'm the only one left.
Yeah.
Oh God, you know, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who's still trying to follow. And God says, listen, Elijah, relax, get a grip. He says, there's 7,000 more that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, because God always has a remnant of people.
Yeah.
And we're sitting around today in, you know, 2012 thinking, oh, well, you know, there's only a handful of Christians left and I'm one of the handful that's left. But there's way more than a handful.
Yeah.
There's always a remnant. And our time, their time, you know, through grace, there's always a remnant of faithful people. And, you know, Paul writes after that, that this is by grace. And it's no longer of works, because otherwise grace isn't grace. You know, it's grace because you haven't earned it. It's unmerited favor.
Yeah.
It's not God paying you a salary for something that you've done.
Yeah.
It's grace.
Yeah. You know, in chapter 11 at verse 7 and 8, he says, what then? What Israel was seeking, it did not attain, but the elect attained it, and the rest were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of deep sleep, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes grow dim so that they may not see and keep their backs bent forever.
Yes. So the people, most of the people were blinded. They were hardened.
Yeah.
God gave them, put them in like this kind of a stupor. They didn't see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Paul, well, Saul of Tarsus. Remember, Paul was Saul. Yeah, Paul was Saul. But when, after his conversion experience, he had scales on his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Ananias prayed over him, the scales fell off of his eyes.
Yeah.
Now Israel was kind of in this stupor. The eyes couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
The ears couldn't hear. This is also from Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 9. And they were even more blind. They thought they were doing the right thing, but they were even more blind.
Yeah.
Because they didn't experience this. They didn't want to experience this.
And, you know, we talk to people today. You can talk to somebody today, and you know that, like, you've experienced something, you've experienced God, and you're talking to them, and you'll sometimes ask yourself the question, gosh, why don't they see? Why don't they just open their eyes and see? And this is the same thing that we're talking about here in chapter 10 and 11, that their eyes did not see and their ears did not hear.
Yeah.
You know?
And then how's this for a verse? In verse 11, the second part of it is, but through their fall, talking about Israel, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. That's pretty exciting stuff.
It is. And, you know, our love for the Lord should make those who don't know the Lord jealous.
Yes, that's right. And especially his people, just said a minute ago. His people were sitting there saying, how come these Gentiles are worshiping our God? What's going on here?
Yeah.
They used to be like pagans. They used to be worshiping Mars and Mercury and Venus and all this other stuff. And now they're worshiping the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And then the cool thing, then the next verse, Paul says, if their fall is riches for the world, meaning the Gentiles, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more is their fullness going to be? In other words, when Israel does come to Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, who's the only Messiah, there's not another one coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back, but there's not another one coming.
Right.
when they do come to faith in him, and when they do repent of their sins, and when, as you read earlier, when they look on him whom they've pierced, imagine what's going to happen in the world.
The body of Messiah will be complete.
Yeah, in a really exciting way.
Yeah.
Because now the covenant people will be brought in to the new covenant.
Mm-hmm. The covenant that Jesus ratified in his own blood.
Amen.
You know.
Yeah, amen. And then Paul says, I can tell you all this because I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Because, you know, Jesus had said, he's my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. So when Ananias said, listen, I'm not going to go see that Saul dude. Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what happened when he's here to kill people? And the Lord says to him, listen, this guy is my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And when this stupor is going to be shaken and they do come to faith, then the kingdom is going to really be complete.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and even there's God's irrevocable call. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers, so that you will not become wise in your own estimation. A hardening has come upon Israel in part until the full number of the Gentiles comes in, and thus all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. Yes. He will turn away godlessness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that covenant, it's going to be for the people, the Israelites, the Jews, just like it is now for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
I'm going to take away their sins.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring them to me. I'm going to bring them. And as we said before the break, how he always has his arms outstretched to them.
Yeah.
This is going to be an amazing outstretching where they're going to see Yeshua, their Messiah, and they're going to say, oh, we missed it, but we're here now.
Yeah,
he's going to forgive their sins because it's a new covenant.
Just like in the prodigal son, the father looked and he saw his son coming back from afar and he ran out to greet him.
Amen. We didn't get to the branches.
Oh,
man.
Well.
Anyway.
Are we off next week?
We're off next week. I forgot. We're off next week for a sports event that the radio station is broadcasting.
Yes.
So Stephen and I will be back in 2 weeks.
The 18th.
The 18th of March. So thanks for listening, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you back here next week. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.